afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, is the last panel, the last discussion we will have today, this interesting day. My name is George Tridis from TNV. And I have the pleasure and honor to host the panel that we have here with us, Mr. Stefan Zekilakos, Prestige and Giraldis Ayou, Sir George Nishkas, Illustrious Nicole Milena, and last but not least, of course, Mr. Rossi Rewan. The topic is navigating the global shipping landscape, ship owners' insights. So we will try with a few questions to get an insight of the ladies and the gentlemen in this global shipping landscape. Quite generic, and we'll start in that way, a little generic. I have to say that coming from a gas society, many people will immediately assume that my first question will be on decarbonization. I promise you that will not be.
Yes, yes.
I know it's been quite a thing lately. So I've put some effort to basically take the challenge and have questions that do not include the words. However, I know it's in the mind of many, so I'm sure we'll touch at this point. But beyond this light-hearted comment, it is a challenge, and we do hope that we get also other comments and insights from our panel, and that you'll find the discussion with Andy Silva. And please stick to the English also and all houses, all the other arrangements we have for and service. Okay, so I'll start with a few questions. The idea is to have the first question would be like from a generic perspective on a global thing. Have you seen it from at a bird's eye view on shipping and challenges? And then we talk about how do you manage as persons having companies, ship owners as well in this difficult situation around the world to navigate through volatility, something about connectivity, and something about fuel. And hopefully we'll see it now. So, starting with the first question, and maybe for Mr. Angelakos, I think the way that you're sitting, from your perspective, what are today's top three challenges, top three things, might be four, might be two, but things that worry you and that, so to speak, keep you away at night?
Look, yeah, I'm not yet awake at night. And
that's a good start. I
don't get very wise. I do have concerns, though. My main concern is in today's world to strengthen our company's financial profile with close collaboration with banks and financial institutes. Financing today's world has changed dramatically since 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's become very competitive. There are new players in financing. We've seen China developing in the last 20 years relatively fast, going into leasing, and if I've been told correctly, even Exim Bank are doing normal shipping loads. So hopefully we'll see China developing. Taiwan is there also. So that's one issue. Another issue for us is the, what should we call it, protectionism, economic nationalism, deglobalization, nearshoring, onshoring, friendshoring. Whatever you want to call it, it's defragmentation. That for shipping may be good, it may not be good. The defragmentation, at least in the initial stages, will allow for different trade routes, so that's good for shipping. But if the shipping routes become much shorter, then that won't be so good for shipping.
Okay. All right, so finance and all these changes in the trade and chain. As you said, deglobalization.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, all right. This is Paril. Did you stay awake at night?
No, I don't stay awake at night. I take some magnesium, and that really helps me. But I am on my toes. And as the CEO of Diamond Shipping Inc., my main concern is making sure that the company remains current and relevant. That means making sure that we have an active participation in the transition of shipping. Obviously, we're interested in maintaining a modern fleet, taking into account all the new regulations and making sure we're decarbonizing, reducing their emissions. That's very important for us. But most important, I think, is ways that the point of the human element, making sure that we attract and develop new talent, both on board and ashore, enabling us to have a good and strong team in order to lead this transition. It's very difficult at these challenging points and how the industry is constantly changing to make sure that you maintain remain competitive and being a strong and reputable company going forward. So I think this is really what is bothering me and keeping me up.
So keeping the company and the fleet relevant and human element.
Yes.
As a small topic, is giving the fleet, do you find it that it's getting more complicated? I mean, is it the taking decision problem, finding sort of problem, what to manage?
It's complicated. You're trying to renew your fleet and maybe expand, but the current market conditions is not allowing that. You need to implement digitalization to make your processes onward and at the office more efficient. That also needs new competence and new skill sets that we need to find from usually outside the shipping industry. I think all in all, you need to build a good team around you with capable people and the required skill set in order to remain competitive and reliable in this industry.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Moskas, from your point of view?
Yes. No, I don't stay awake at night either, but I think the thing that worries me most is new regulations that come in constantly. And, you know, we have ships which some of moderns have all, and it's so difficult to comply with new regulations over ships. But then they may tell you you have to retrofit. That's not easy. It's very costly. And the market is not there to justify it. That's a big problem, because what are we going to do? We're going to sell all our ships and all the new ships? Well, then prices are very high. The market's not there. It doesn't make sense, so the world. So that's the biggest problem, how we go forward, like how we renew our fleet in order to try to comply with these latest regulations.
Yep. All right. See you. Well, thank you very much. Ms. Wiener, on your side?
Well, if I were to be honest, I stopped staying with all night. Then I came to terms with the realization that investing in shipping is not about making money every year. It's about continuity, and it's about sticking with it through thick and thin, and therefore it's all about flexibility and adaptability. So yes, are there lots of things moving us across the place right now? Absolutely. We're going to decarbonization, to the work of seafarers, to the Palestinian year able to handle, to multi-level technology, if you ask now. It's extremely well. As an activity business, I always have, there's just different complexities where you're asked 10 years to become 20 years.
So it's basically the nature of the business. It's just a problem.
Wait. Okay.
And Mr. About that. Yes. Mr. Diogo,
yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Recently, decarbonization is not something that all of us are especially in this state way. So, what do you remember in the recent times and in the past times, we did have issues in the 90s. We were feeling to invest where to invest. So, despite the table, I think there was not enough causing us any sleep at night. But in recent years, I remember the 8 years between 2012 to 2020, which we had 8 years of continuous stable market with a peak in 2015, 2016. And there was a point you were wondering if you were in the wrong business, and because our generation, at least this day, works here. Yes, George, exception is George. We didn't live the 81, 86 era. 1981, 1986, interest rates 20%, we think that's better, and terrible market below OPEX that the past generation will have. So we put it in a magic way in 2012, 2020 of 8 years, that one. And after that, that we just managed our break even on all those years. Some years we are losing a lot of money, 2015, 16, the others we are making small money. End of that period, we start the first half in Trump with the first round of tariffs in 2018. Then we reached 2020 in the first half of the year without COVID. At that point, again, the market crashed. And we said, now there's a problem here. I mean, after 8 years without everything closing down because of COVID, and this will cause tremendous problem. They tell you, you wanted to call your bankers and tell them, you know, guys, I mean, we have these loans due in 6 months, the other one in 12 months, the other one in 18 months, you know, we have to push everything out, wait for the market to clear. So we were losing our sleep on behalf of our bankers that they might not be sleeping as well at night. So we were trying to reach them and explain the situation, but we couldn't find anyone. In the offices, all offices were closed. So we said, since they don't lose their sleep, we should not lose our sleep either. Thank God that period of time went over and supplied so much what we saw within 6 months when the actions that people were in the world, towards trade rates started escalating, starting from the smaller sizes, which were benefiting by the cargo that was returning back to them from the container trade. And suddenly, in the summer of 2020, we realized that a dry bulk market will be for a quick market. So shipping, you can never be sure what is going to happen, even when you are in total disbelief that the market will not perform, you do exactly the opposite. So you should never wish to sleep at night and just be creative.
Okay, thank you very much. Patrice, you love that this is the nature of the subject, so more or less you have to live with it if you want to be in it. And that takes me to the second question. Same as this, that is Siphonus Insight. I mean, some of you touched upon that we have taken a set of problems these years. We have ongoing conflicts, great disruptions for deglobalization, so like the actual economic kind of certainty at a certain degree. I mean, if you want to have your HS, how would you navigate through this volatility? It's expected, yes, shipping, some reliability. Is there any recipe that each of you have and you follow while you with your conference? Still, thank you, others.
Diversification and or specialization. You can have a diverse fleet, which during the good times of one fleet, they'll cover the expenses of another category of ships, and vice versa. And if you can specialize as well, like our family, our group, have both diversified and specialized. We have a fleet of Panamax vessels. When I say Panamax vessels, I mean Ultramaxes, Panamaxes, and Kamsarmaxes. It's one of the youngest biggest globally Panamax fleet, which gives you running such a company, you could be very focused and a know-how that you have won and has acquired over the decades, you can put into practice. Of course, you also have to keep abreast of the situations, you have to keep very well informed and have a realistic and pragmatic view of what's going on geopolitically and in shipping. In this day and age, it's very important to have strategic partners to collaborate. Collaborate is key word. It has been, it is, and it will be the next up until we get to the very challenging point of 2050. There will have to be a lot of collaboration.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we do your best in the collaboration part. Ms. Pali, on your side?
Yeah, I think shipping is no stranger to volatile markets, as Boris nicely described and reminded us. So as a company, what we try and do is we have an agnostic view of what's going to happen. We don't speculate. We try and maintain a strong balance sheet to weather the storm. We try to maintain a low leverage with that. A modern fleet always helps to ride the cycles. We do a lot of physical hedging by staggering our chartering and having a disciplined chartering strategy. That obviously is at a disadvantage when the markets are picking up, and we know that. And it's also to our advantage when the markets drop and our ships are staying at chartered for a longer period at peak rates. The main motto for us is to try and be strong, stronger than others, so that slowly, slowly, other companies at the weaker position have to sell their ships or scrap their ships mainly until we can the markets return back to healthier positions and we can still be part of this industry. Stefanos mentioned collaboration. I think that's very important. Indeed, we have to maintain good relationship with all our stakeholders. And today, more than before, it's very important to work with our charterers, our bankers. We're on this together. We're not opposing. So we have to work together.
So you have a fan question for both of you. Question. Your question. Do you see that this, I mean, since you are looking for collaboration from other stakeholders, do you see that this is super appealing and you have the same, let's say, appetite for others to help you in this, or it's still something that you have to drive with me?
They're not very forthcoming, but I think given the fact that transparency is very important for the new shipping pragmatic or the sustainable shipping as we talk about, I think the relationships are becoming more strong than realistic.
Is it like a left? What's up?
Yes, I think that's basic question, flexible question. The concept of collaboration for us, we try to put it out there, but people aren't really biting yet. To meet the challenges in 2050, there has to be collaboration, because in order to meet these challenges, there are so many, so vast, so expensive, so logistically challenging, that it's impossible to the people in the road here to do it by themselves. The solutions that we're finding to combat decarbonization, I think, are rather fragmented. They are colossal, and we're scrambling around, all of us, trying to find out what the solutions are. And there are solutions. And I think that it's being tackled from the bottom up instead of from the top down. What do I mean by this? Us as consumers of energy. But let me use a metaphor. In the animal kingdom, this is a very good example, the infant has little choice on what energy it's provided. It's the producer of the energy, the mother, that gives that energy. Now, the one is set up since the Industrial Revolution with the fossil fuels. That is how the world is set up. That's the veins, the arteries, the mammary glands, all of those are set up with fossil fuels. One or two or three or four, five, six, seven, 20 shipowners, we can't change. In order for the change to happen, get in the time, has to happen, because the expense is fast.
it has to be split, i.e. the states have to collaborate amongst themselves, pick one to put a fewer provides up to provide fewer alternative fuels. Not just say find the find the solution. And that way we'll be less friendly, we'll be more organized, we all know what to do. And the money that's going to be spent in order to meet these challenges will be more focused on the practical, pragmatic results and what we do the work. And step right now. I think it's actually good to focus the mission as it is. Basically, the problem is holding it and not solving it by yourself. So, having to use the work as a body for this problem to how you navigate for looking.
Well, they said, our previous panel,
if you press one spot, that's action.
The previous panel, the audience was moderating. I mean, Robert from Ireland was saying we're going to have an exhibit, which is going to happen with this parade. And the way that we cover our fleet is that we have a certain percentage, it's always a longer term chapter, and then the rest is spot. But with the spot, we also have the flexibility to fix in when we see these spikes. And I think that's the only way that we can cover some of the volatility. And then you take advantage of it. Of the market as well, without having anything long term trial there. What Stefan is saying is right. I mean, regarding the fuels, I mean, it's not our problem to solve the fuel. It's if someone supplies us and says, I've got your method or whatever, it's going to be available all over the world for you. And that's the fuel we're going to use, and you use it. But we can't do it ourselves. You know, it's at the moment we're going to have to sustain with our fossil fuel, and we just have to build ships for more efficient to have less CO2.
Help up, help, and then see what else, you know, could see other people. Okay, thank you.
Truly, speaking for utilities and one of the same. It's the creator of opportunities. And the bill grossly stating question is, are you doing about volatility? Question is, are you safe or sensitive? And that, again, depends on your risk. But as a green court, you try to take a slightly conservative edge to answer a judging. We spread out. Says the issues of durations and sport fixtures, and that it has a little bit of downside injection, but not necessarily uses. And we also focus it on to the treaters, ish, or set to its size, and is doing. We're fitting the eventual age to be.
Thank you very much.
The thing is, what we know is that we don't know. Hey, we take it as it comes. Sometimes the public companies, they ask the questions to understand investors. What is your strategy? You go long term, short term, this, what market or period market. The claim we give is that we fix whatever we think that is at that point of time is suitable for the ship. And of course, we do not fix period unless it's very profitable or right. So, otherwise, we stay in the spot market because always there will be an opportunity at a certain point, make it drop down, and maybe after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. So, we try to avoid the ships at low rates for period. So, sometimes you take decision, big decision, coming with your bonus, you buy some ships, you are certain that this ship will be very blocked up, or you are very confident, you are overconfident. And my experience shows that when you are overconfident, when you make the decision, usually you don't make as much as you make when your decision involves a lot of skeptic, or sometimes you make an investment decision, And the next day, the next month, or the next year, the next day, you start wondering, why did I do this deal? Why did I say yes to this guy? Resmin, I shouldn't have done this deal. I shouldn't have sold the ship, or I shouldn't have bought the ship. And my experience shows that that decision that you are in doubt at that point, you could say, well, decision always turns out the best decision you've ever made. This summarizes everything, you know. Why we are overconfident that the market will keep going high and we go and we buy an expensive ship and what? In fixing the good charter at the put rate, usually is the lowest return that we will have on our money.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for this, for all of you. So we have a look at the perspective of the bigger scale and some things about volatility. Now, the next question is about connectivity. A previous panel was talking about connectivity, how vessels are becoming more and more connected, internet, the technology that's coming in shipping, in the office, as well as the ships. And basically, the question here is that, from your point, from the position that you have, are you really concerned about cybersecurity threats? And if I dare to say, do you find it as a threat or reality issue? Are there any measures today? The regulators, I know that the previous panel would say, just talk about this and understand that, but we should see all those insights.
Yes, we believe the threat is that, particularly now the AI has come into the realm. We need to be particularly just. The measures that we need to take is, again, to keep abreast of the situations, collaborate with people like Mr. Kendall's, that our company does, to ensure that threats minimized. You need to have emergency response plans in place. You need to carry out drills.
Be prepared. Just be prepared, yeah.
We got that. Thank you.
Mrs. Bayer?
Yes, it's actually a real threat. We have in our office a cybersecurity officer. We've had him for the last 3 years. Obviously, with the advanced connectivity on our ships, with Starlink, with Internet of Things, sensors, various applications, we are increasing the attack surface. That's how they call it. They were making our ships and our office more vulnerable. So the key here is taking measures, raising awareness for our people, doing phishing campaigns. We have even very been considering employing a company called Security Operations Center. It's a 24-hour service that monitors the network and our systems and responds immediately. It's a bit like what we have for properties and houses with the surveillance for security, and they call the police if they see intruders. Exactly the same thing for our networks and our systems. But I thought I'd share with you an actual incident that happened to us a couple of months ago. My CFO receives a WhatsApp message from supposedly me, which says, Ioanni, I'm in the middle of a discussion and I'm about to close a business. Let's connect onto a Zoom call. I want to tell you more. He obviously understands that this is something very suspicious, but nevertheless, he's the type of person that wants to see how far he can take it. So he talks to our cybersecurity officer, and through a secure system, he responds, yes, okay, I'll go on to the Zoom, send me the link. So he goes onto the Zoom, and he sees me, my face, with a deep fake, whatever it's called, with my name logo on the back. It's obviously from some other presentation I've done virtually. And the image isn't very clear. It's sort of shaky.
And Zoom is not very important.
Yes, but I'm moving and sort of, I look quite alive. The connection drops and the WhatsApp message comes back. I'm sorry, the connection isn't good. I'm in this process. I'm here with my lawyer. He refers to a lawyer. And I need, how much money do we have in the bank accounts? Because I have to close this deal. Yes,
that's something that any owner would ask.
Well, he wanted to know exactly what's going on. So my CFO responds, we have 200,000 euros to 100,000 dollars in a second. And I continue replying on the WhatsApp, and I say, okay, please send this amount. I was sending also the contact details of a Portuguese bank. And Yana says, I'm sorry, I can't, I'm waiting for your signature. How about if we do it on Monday? And I supposedly say, no, I'm in a hurry. Please ask Maria, who's our chief accountant, to sign off this payment.
So they were informed as well.
So it shows how much informed they were, how exactly they knew the structure of the company. And it's in a Kabanaki. I mean, it's a real, real thing.
There are also other examples. Well, actually, it might be you coming out, and actually the voice be your voice.
I think they said the voice was my voice or similar.
Well, like they talk presentation from YouTube and say, okay, simulate, install and everything, and put it there to say a few words just so it's more convincing, right? Yeah, that's and at the end, if we may ask what happened at the end. Obviously, the money wasn't wired.
Yeah, the money wasn't wired. Our cybersecurity officer reported the case. He obviously advised the bank that their data was being used. And I think that's where it ended. But it has to do with being alert and being aware, because if this had happened in a maybe bigger company where there wasn't such a close relationship between the CEO and the CFO, the things were done in more of a procedural way. I don't know. But awareness is a key here.
These are things that, well, the last barriers is contingency for money at the end of the day that you understand you as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Mr. Ambushes.
Yeah, obviously, we're very worried about it, but we train the crew to be very vigilant on board the ship. I also have a company in Greece that we use IQ solutions, and they help us with cybersecurity to place everything that we need. It is a big problem, especially more I would say in the office actually, because we get a lot of these messages coming through, and you know, the email is always identical to somehow. There might be all of that difference, and if the people are not vigilant, if you make a mistake, you definitely is. So, especially, for example, agents, they send a message saying, we have changed our bank account. This comes late, very often. And now, whenever we get that, if we're not, we always have a phone call.
Yeah.
We never send to a new bank account without a phone call. Right. But it's just being vigilant. That's what we do.
And I think the problem that we are all having is that our lives are immediately connected to the emails. So if you ever come to the emails, you take it as a man.
Yeah.
And many times you forget, if you spoke up before, you just
clarify. Yeah.
Thank you. Ms. Fever.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree with that. I think the key here is just creating a training for next month, and I see the nervous papers in my far too many jobs everywhere. Days for social media to recognize on the page. And the only way to adapt it really is so I got into the energy. No, it's what has. Is traded.
Good night, you know what I was thinking. And is there you are?
Yes, we take it very seriously, the cybersecurity. The last 2-3 years since we've been on the board meetings, it's an issue that takes most time during discussions. And independent director, they come with a lot of problems or not, because they sit in other boards of big airlines or banks or other institutions, and they either have the information, but they see in the other boards. So we spent quite a noise with money or cybersecurity, not only training the staff or in the office. Was when we started to do the test, we saw that some people were reluctant and they were easily submitting data in the questions, partly because comments were ourselves and the clients to questions that they wouldn't reply or open the attachment that they would, that they shouldn't open because there is not their business work and part attached. So we know that there are experts shipping companies and in this especially there are public companies we're targeting and private companies we said recently. Apart from the data, the big water services, so the big shipping industry is well aware of what's going on. Willingness to money, they show in the actually the company, the computer system, we change all the computers in the office, all the people they can connect files from one laptop on the system of the office, whether they are in the office or in their home or overseas, they can only access the system from the particular computer, laptop. We spent maybe $200,000 on this. We will give a laptop to a new laptop to all our employees, no notices. On board the ships, we isolated the system system at the party vessel with the communication system they have of the office. In the office, because we are online with the ships, they are online with our computers. Their own communication system that they use to access their families to speak with their relatives. You can have all, like everyone else, the accessibility that they need. For MLC purposes, a noise of their welfare. People who are pick up in, start seeing out here and following their private MS standards for 2 weeks here. We isolated their system from the system to protect the company to the best extent possible. We're evaluating insurance schemes now that the industry is offering. We're going to do it, I think, very soon because it's an extra security. Why to be hit with a demand of 20 million when we can pay or no, 100,000 a year to insure it. So all these are money well spent and we pay attention. We to be naive, but what they said should be done is that here in a new officer or old, more experienced officer, they are pressed in the office, there are many things if they cannot evaluate properly, which in many instances go. So we try to train the people in the office as much as possible, including ourselves, to try to avoid these traps.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we move to the last question. We close that. There are certain various questions that wake up into the agenda. The last topics of group, and they have given a lot of different forums and importance of crew shortages in general, it's an issue that's been brought up by many. So, from your point of view, how do you address this challenge of crew in general and its shortage, seafarer welfare, and the attraction of new talent, especially considering technological shifts? And when I say technological shifts, I think that I find say that except the speed, new fuels, and networking that keeps coming aboard. It's more complicated. It will take my equipment on my side. Also, equipment that comes with all the social black box thing. In the old days, I didn't take care of the events and fix something down and help that thing. So, generally, about who were the first comments from the reserve gap of Mr. Randy Lash. Being a captain myself, having been inspired from a week away when I was sailing the seas in my mid-teens, during my summer holidays, I was inspired by the crew, I was inspired by the ships, I was inspired by the sea. And they gave me the nautical seamanship, the art and science of seamanship, and the art and science of passing time on board ships, like playing the guitar and doing karaoke. We have a very close relationship with our sea. This has evolved in carrying out forums every year where we help not only for the seamen themselves,
go for that. We have workshops and seminars and training for their wives too. And we listen to their the difficulties that they face with their husbands and the upholding without their husbands. And engaging in the next generation. We have programs, scholarship programs with universities. We have great communication with training facilities. We have partnerships with maritime academies, which keep the crew in touch with the company and in touch with the company's values. It's very, and above all, it's very important to the top management to personally convey and be close to the crew to first educate the values of the family, the group, and then to go on to further education, and as they call it, training, then.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you?
Yes, I don't want to sound repetitive here, but seafaring scarcity is going to be a problem in the future, at least that's what we hear. At the moment, we have just under 2 million seafarers around the world working on our ships, in general, our specific fleet. It's supposed to be that at least 800,000 seafarers will need to be reskilled and upskilled in order to be able to be capable to respond to this technological transition that we're talking about. It is important to make the seafarers feel at home, close to the company. It's important to make them feel safe and healthy on board. So what we're doing is we're investing in welfare, far from what the dry BMS is regulating and making us do. We are doing a psychological support 24/7 with the company. We're also doing online live medical support. In case there is someone who's sick or there is an injury. So that, I think, gives comfort to our seafarers that there is support, even though they might be in the middle of the sea. Connectivity is incredibly important for them to feel that they are still connected with their families and what's going on back at home. So Starlink is on our ship, and that's provided incredible relief to our seafarers with good quality connectivity, cheaper and much faster. So that's an addition. We provide welfare allowance on board our ships in order to spend some money on a monthly basis to buy things that they want for to improve their pastime. Obviously, gyms, it's a prerequisite anyway. We invest time visiting marine academies. We have agreements with marine academies. We identify cadets and we monitor them closely. So we design a career path. Then we provide financial support so they can get their certification and build up the ranking system. What we find has worked a lot with our Filipino seafarers is private medical insurance for the whole family. That makes the wife and the family back home feel more secure in case of something that goes bad. I think that's about it.
Good, Ross, and Doris, again. Thank you very much.
Is that what basically, you have to look after. Generally, you have to look after in what the crew requires. On board the ship is connectivity, very important to them, obviously. The other things that we try to do is, for example, now there's a problem in the Red Sea. We have sent a ship through the Red Sea for 18 months. You don't want to do it, so we don't take any risk with our crew. And we managed to spare our charters to avoid it. And things like that, you have to, you always have to bear in mind that these people are on the ship working, it's a difficult life. And you have to try and look out the best you can. And when they go ashore, obviously the people, we keep paying them to make sure they come back again. And then there's training. We do a lot of training, especially now with the electronic engines. Our engineers had to be retrained. We have to do that. We do that at Kent, where they are in Silicon.
Yeah.
Generally, you to the belt.
Okay, then. What's good?
You sleep now.
The lots that the training is as key. We are actually an investor. We are rare in this. Can further just mind by a nursing around your energy engineers, up with those faces. This is the care in terms of upgrading scaling. But I do agree with Mr. Minister. I think retention is actually the key because what the shortage is factored in, it's global. So what it creates is a lot of vision losses. So then the key here is to retain some of your MTOT. And in that sense, we try to be very close with staff. The pros and their values with year to year to year. We take care to address specific requests when you've seen it more cash zero that they're intending to assist with the operation of your children's high school, things like this. And that's how we try to make.
Says God. Yes, it's a very important issue that the people on board the ships. We try to stay very close to the people that have policies to help with it. We're not interested to make money by trading the ships to area that there is risk to our group. This is this we believe doesn't come. And we stopped trading the Red Sea from 1973 when they all first hit all the vessel. I think it was in the Iranian interest. We diverted seven ships that they were in route to pass from the Red Sea. Even with the fight there, with our shot, several were in the open, remember, we are there. And one shot, a big fight was going to happen from St. Lawrence and then already in Gibraltar to go by the Red Sea. I said, then the ship around, we're not passing from there. I start shouting, why are you doing this? We are not Israeli interest. I said, okay, we are Israeli or not, we are US listed, then we will be targeted. And we don't want to pass from there and have to comply. Of course, he didn't fix us again after that incident. The other six charters, they complied with that at the same time. And she, from the start of the war in 2022, we had two ships going to load in Black Sea. We turned them around. The charter shouting, they were fixed business. We said, no, give us other instructions. We're not going there. We don't care if they will be hit on the vessels or whatever. So we haven't traded the Red Sea since December 23. Because they hit it first company, the least company vessel, they hit it in February. This, I didn't want to go in Black Sea. We haven't sent a single ship for 3 years in Black Sea. And all these things, a crew, it counts. All these things count on the two mics. Because I know that when you tell this to my money agents in Manila, I call this information with the new hirings that we don't trade in the Red Sea, we don't go in the Black Sea. And their first question is, does the ship has full access to internet and things like that? So, I mean, you see, the seamen, they care, obviously, their families. The money agents, they care for more simple things. And I think in order for the fleet to evaluate these things properly, you have to be consistent. We have to do this in every situation, in all situations, even if it's money, even if it's spoil the relationship with charterers. And the situation with the shortage of signal has become worse, of course, with the Ukraine and the war, because we have lost not only just most of the European goods, but other companies are using Ukraine and pull they have to go back to go to war, and the Russian pushing they were not accepted anywhere in the world. So this has exaggerated the shortage of food. I thought we reached this agreement that this will surely come back to a normalized situation. And, but as a company, you know, we have this spirit, arrogance, and it was our goal message. At the end of this space, you can get, cost you something in the beginning, but you pay the same year.
Thank you very much. Before we close,
Nicole was talking, I just remembered Nicole was talking about shortage of crew. Yes, I remember I wanted to add that as there is shortage from countries that traditionally provide seafarers, I'm hearing in the industry a lot of people talking about other continents that can't provide seafarers, such as Africa, which apparently has vast potential to provide seafarers, although they're still quite far from the standards we would be looking for. But I hear that there are companies looking to attract seafarers for them. So that could be a solution.
We also need to support what happens. I mean, that very important skill they have is we're taking the debts all the time, really 10 categories. And then kind of recently, we took two separate bills as cadet officers. And I think it's important that we can't carry any.
Thank you very much. We have yours here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, the panel, and all of you. If we can thank the panel for the contribution, and thank you.